Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way from the earth to the cross. My death from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross. My debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Let's sing again. Lord, I lift your name.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I love to sing your praises.
Oh,
I'm so glad you're in my life.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
I'm so glad you came to save us.
You came from heaven, you came from heaven to earth to show my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, I lift your name on high.
We want to thank you so much, all of you who have been ready to participate in this Holy Communion celebration today. Our prayer and the prayer of the church is that the Lord may keep you clean. The Lord may keep you steadfast up to the day he will come to pick his church, so that you can be among those who are going to be picked that day. Let us pray. We thank you, Lord, because of this time you have given to us so that we can share the Holy Communion in your presence. We pray that you'll bless every one of those who took part in it, so that they can be aware that every day we have to spend on this earth, we have to live, showing that we have been freed from sin by the power of your body. Your body, which was broken on the cross because of us, your blood was poured so that we can be forgiven. So, Lord, we pray that you will allow every one of us to live like someone who have been redeemed by the blood of the cross. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. May the Lord bless you all. Amen.
I greet you once more in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Polisi from Goma West, so I don't have to introduce myself. Last time I was here, we were speaking about mission. It was the month of mission. The month is over, But the mission of God continues, and I hope you continue working on your role in the mission of God. Today, we are given to read from the book of Esther, two passages from the book of Esther. First, Esther chapter 4, verses 12 to 14, and then chapter 9, verse 1 to 2. Esther, it's easy to find. If you have found it, I will read the reading. When Esther's words were reported to Mordecai, he sent back this answer. Do not think that because you are in the king's house, you alone of all the Jews will escape. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to the royal position for such a time as this? And then we go to chapter 9, verses 1 to 2. On the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, the edict commanded by the king is to be carried out. On this day, the enemies of the Jews had hoped to overpower them, but now the tables were turned, and the Jews got the upper hand over those who hated them. The Jews assembled in their cities in all the provinces of King Xerxes to attack those seeking their destruction. No one could stand against them because the people of all the other nationalities were afraid of them. We are still in our general theme of the month, which says, setting a positive example in God's covenant. Now, the specific theme for today is that for such a time as this, salvation is still possible. For such a time as this, salvation is still possible. These verses are drawn from the book of Esther. Esther is a descendant of Jews' family, which were deported from Israel to Persia. So we may say they are refugees. They were taken into captivity. But this is a story of commitment and sacrifice, a story of how a woman, through the providence of God, saved her people from genocide. What is it about? Haman, a high official in the court of King Xerxes, developed a deadly hatred towards Mordecai, the uncle of, some passages say, cousin of Esther. And now because of this hatred, Haman has plotted to kill, to have all the Jews killed in the kingdom. He has arranged his plot so meticulously that he had the king sign the edict. That means it has to be executed. Now the only solution, the only person who can save them is the king. But how to access him is now the challenge. The only person who can access him is Esther. But it is dangerous. It is a dangerous mission. So, on request of Mordecai, Esther takes the risks and he manages to denounce the evil plan and, as the passage says, to turn the tables so that Haman is hanged on the gallows he had prepared for Mordecai and the enemies of the Jews are eliminated. So, the Jews end up being victorious. This is a very interesting story, but what do we learn from it? There is a lot to learn, especially in our context today of vulnerability. But I have selected a few small points, maybe four or five, which we shall focus on from these, especially the first two verses that we read. One is that whatever the situation, God has always a good plan for his people. The second thing is that we are part of that plan. So it's not a plan to be implemented. Like robot, we have a role to play in that plan. And the third point is that salvation needs action. It's not enough to complain and cry that you are a victim. We need also to act. The fourth point is that action involves risks, and we have to be ready to take them. But the last point is that despite those risks, God's plan never fails. Let's say a few words about God's plan for these people, for his people. If we read from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I like this verse. He says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope for the future." Sometimes when we are going through hardships, we think that God has forsaken us, and even our faith can start shivering. You see Esther in her position? She is still afraid. She is still hiding her identity, although she is the queen. She is still hiding. But in reality, you cannot hide what you are for long. It's like you are hiding behind a bush, and suddenly the wind blows the bush and you remain exposed. But the good thing, if you are relying on God, is that when the bush is removed, you notice that actually the enemy is no longer there. Those who are there are the people who are looking for you to save you from the danger. And you are still hiding. So you are even still hiding from your Savior. This is what happens when we look for refuge in world means, in our intelligence, in our richness, in our capacity, in our own strength. We are like people hiding behind a bush from the one who is coming to save us. But when you look at this, God has meticulously prepared Esther for the role that she had to play in his mission of salvation. Imagine a slave who becomes the queen. I don't know what your passage in life is. When I look, I remember someone, I was talking with someone, a friend, asking me where I come from. When I mentioned my village, he said, "Oh, I never thought someone could come from that village and stand here." He was joking. He was a friend. But I don't know for you, but try to look at your past and how God has been preparing the way until you reach where you are now. So God has a meticulous plan. Sometimes we think things are over. Speaking about the economic situation, I remember when I started working. In 1977, $1 was one zaire. And at that time, it went down. And that is where the teachers went on strike for the first time, I remember. We didn't know what strike is. So we thought, now life is unbearable. That is the end. But it kept going down, down. Every time we thought, this time it's over. This time we cannot survive. Until $1 reached how much? 8 million zaire in 1993. Can you imagine? 8 million. What kind of currency was that? And we thought, this time we will not survive. But God was still watching. Even today, when people ask me, how do you survive in a country, in a place without a bank? I say, I don't know, but God is still on his throne. Although people are dying of insecurity, but hunger, I haven't heard them yet. God is still providing because he is still moving with his plan. Secondly, what is now our role in that plan? And there we go to verse 14b. And who knows but that you have come to the royal position for such a time as this? We are created for a purpose. Nobody comes to this world by accident. We have a role to play. The problem is that sometimes we don't know how to identify that role. And we keep complaining without knowing that God sent us for a purpose. And we could develop more on this, but time is running after us. But I would like you to keep asking yourself, what is my role for a time as this in Goma, in the church, in my family, wherever I am now? What is my role? Because Esther is told, you might be complaining that you came as a slave, but it is possible that God brought you here for this specific time. He knew that you would be the one to save your people. Salvation doesn't come from very big people or important people. Sometimes it is people who don't believe that they can do anything, like David the shepherd and so on. So do not underestimate your place. Think about your mission, as we said even last time. Number three, salvation requires action. It is true that we are going through hardships, and we are complaining, and we are crying, but this is not enough. We need to act. And this is what Mordecai tells Esther. You have to act. You have to see what you can do. It is possible that you came here for that purpose, and this is risky. Esther knows how dangerous it is to go to see the king without permission. She knows what happened to her predecessor, Queen Vashti, because she didn't comply with the rules and regulations. So she has to choose between her own life and the life of her community. She could hide and say, I'm the queen, I hope this will not affect me. But that would mean elimination of her kinspeople. So she goes for the welfare of her people. That is what she chooses. But she has a strong weapon. Before doing that, before going into action, she has to pray, fasting for 3 days and inviting all her people to fast for 3 days. So we are called for action, but not on our own. We first have to call God's hand to guide us in whatever action we are going to take. Number four, we have to be aware that action involves risks. But when we take the risk, as I said, we have prayer first, but we have also to trust in God. Because as Paul writes to the Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 13, he says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So even in the hard times, you are not alone. I like Stephen Covey, who says, even in our daily life, there are two types of situations we are going through. There is what we call the circle of influence and the circle of concern. The circle of influence is what we are able to act on, what is in our capacity. The circle of concern, it's a problem we are concerned with, but there is nothing we can do about it. So, what we have to focus on is our circle of influence and make sure we are working on it. I don't know if I told this story last time again when I spoke about mission, about what we can do. That tale about the bird, the small bird which was trying to put off a big fire and going through the river with some water. And the elephant saw him and said, you must be a joker. How do you think you can put off this fire with that small thing? And the small bird tell him, okay, if you think this is important, then you can come with your big trunk and then we will bring much water. But if you don't want to come, this cannot prevent me from doing what I can. So what is in my capacity? That is where you have to start. From your family, from yourself. That is where to start your action. And do not let the world prevent you from what you are doing or what you can do. Next is God's plan never fails. Yeah, Some people in the Bible, you will see people who try to shine away from their calling. And they give excuses. You have examples like Moses, when God calls him, oh no, you see, I'm not a good speaker, how can I do this? Or Jeremiah, saying, oh, you see, I'm only a small child. And the most spectacular is Jonas. He tries to find a way out, and he has to spend 3 days in the stomach of a snake. I don't know if it was hot or cold inside, but that was not very comfortable. Because in all those examples, when God has called you and he has set a plan, he will make sure it always comes true. So, if you want to shine away, God will find a way. And this is what Mordecai tells Esther. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for Jews will arise from another place. Do you want to lose your opportunity? God will find someone else, but you will regret it. Even Jesus, when the people were telling him, your disciples are making too much noise, said, don't worry, if they keep silent, stones will cry out. Once God has set a plan, and he has promised it in Jeremiah, he will make it come true, whatever the time of darkness that we all go through. So what can we say about this? How does it happen in your life? How have you experienced this in your life? Sometimes you go through a very dark time and you say, this is the end. I have so many examples, but time doesn't allow for it. But every time when I thought the world has been unjust towards me, even when I was very young, but when I come out, I realized that God was taking me through this darkness, but light is always at the end. So what can we conclude? So while you are going through life and trying to make sure you fix all the little pieces of your life, you have to understand this, that there is over and above, below your life, the divine architect ordering every detail. This doesn't mean that you are worked on like a robot. God arranges it, but you are the central character in it, and you are the one to act on it. But the Lord is still on his thrones, despite the challenging times in the world where we are living, distressed, the way things are going, it's chaotic, disconcerting. But the architect, the divine architect, is still ordering our lives. All we need to do is to rely on him, try to understand. Okay, rely first of all on his plan. Understand that we are actors, and despite the risks that may be involved in our action, God's plan never fails. May God bless us.
Thank you very much for the word of God, Papa Polisi. And the Lord has spoken to us, everyone in different ways, and we believe in his word. But for such a time, God's salvation is still possible. Amen.